you know, I have another source for my humor, and it's a beautiful little newsletter called the Joyful Noise Letter. Ha 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 ha. And these are humorous incidents that really happened in the lives of priests, Protestant ministers and rabbis, as well as nuns, and also some lay people who write in and share. So, courtesy of the Joyful Noise Letter, I'm going to share some of these. This was also appearing in the New Covenant magazine. An old retired professor of church history at Yale was on his deathbed. Waiting relatives anxiously gathered around him. After a time of silence, one man quietly said, "I think he's gone." Another relative standing at the end of the bed felt the old man's feet and said, "No, his feet are still warm. No one ever dies with warm feet." The eyes of the old professor blinked open. He raised his head up from the bed, looked around at his family. "Joan of Arc did," he whispered. He gave a little chuckle and he died. And then there's this one about Jonah. Jonah was strident. That means his loud mouth. Not bland. Too tough for the poor old whale to stand. It goes without question, he got indigestion and spit Jonah out on the land. And you've heard the Seventh-day Adventists. Right? Question. What do you call a non-church goer? A Seventh-day absentist.
That's a good one.
And here's the, you know what they do at the hospital? They have to go through all the papers, sign out, they wheel you out, and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, this hospital's physician's dictation, as transcribed by his secretary, read this way. Discharge status. Alive, but without permission. And here's something that happened to a parishioner in a parish, and is put in poetry. Mrs. Muff is up to the miff tree on a seat fixed good and firm. And she'd like to tell her pastor some things that would make him squirm. Mrs. Muff was sick abed, sir. Yes, sick abed a week. And the pastor didn't call, sir. Never even took a peek. Wasn't that enough, sir, to provoke a saint to wrath and to make a Christian pilgrim wander from the church's path? When I asked her if her doctor called to see her, she said, "Sure." And she looked as if she thought I needed some good, strong mind cure. Then I asked her how the doctor knew that sickness laid her low. And she said that she had called him on the phone and told him so. So the doctor called to see her, but the pastor didn't go. But the doctor was invited, while the pastor didn't know. Now, the doctor gets his bill paid with a nicely written check. But the pastor, for not knowing, simply got it in the neck. And then there's a prayer. It's called the Pastor's Prayer, to be said before his sermon time. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff, and nudge me when I've said enough. And while you're nudging, Lord, our God, keep nudging those inclined to nod. Lord, help us all to stay awake, and this I ask for Jesus' sake. And then there's the response on the phone on April Fool's Day. The phone rang constantly with silly messages, or there would be just silence on the other end. When finally the phone rang, this was in a sister's community in their convent. When finally the phone rang and a voice said, "April Fool," I replied, "Oh, thank you for introducing yourself. How may I help you?" And the caller slammed down the phone. We got no more calls from pranksters. I wouldn't read this from the altar, especially during Mass. But let me preface this first by this one. A Father Harold Cost of Holy Family Church in Belle Prairie, Minnesota, recalls hearing the first confession of a second grader who had little to confess. "Do you have any more?" the priest asked. "Sure," the youngster replied, "but I'm saving some for the next time." Now, this has to do with a man who claims that he was possessed. A distraught man went to a psychiatrist and exclaimed, "Doctor, I believe I'm possessed by an evil spirit." After talking to the patient at some length, the psychiatrist said, "You do have to have a problem. I'd like to see you again next Wednesday." After the second session of psychotherapy, the psychiatrist pronounced his patient completely cured. For the next 9 months, the psychiatrist sent the man a monthly statement for his professional services. But the man wouldn't pay, refused to acknowledge the debt. Finally, the psychiatrist took the man to court and had him repossessed. Now, you know, people who are very educated use a lot of language to say something very simple, like lawyers, lawyers.
That's a good one.
A lawyer was overheard praying in church. We respectively request and entreat that due and adequate provisions be made this day and the date hereinafter subscribed for the organizing of such methods and allocations and distributions as may be deemed necessary to properly assure the reception by and for said petitioner of such quantities of baked cereal products as shall, in the judgment of the aforementioned petitioners, contribute a sufficient supply thereof. Interpretation, give us this day our daily bread. Why didn't he say that in the first place? Now, here's one about people who tell off-color jokes. One nice thing about telling a clean joke is there's a good chance no one heard it before. All you other jokesters out there, listen to that. And I've shared with you how children pray, and the words are funny, but they sound like the words we say. You know, "Our Father who art in heaven." While this little fellow is kneeling down, he's saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed thy name." And another one I remember, I said it here, whether it's recorded, "Our Father who art in heaven, how do you know my name?" The police station. Now, a Jehovah's Witness knocked on the door of a lawyer's home. When the lawyer answered, he asked him if he'd like to be a Jehovah's Witness. The lawyer politely declined, saying he hadn't seen the accident, but added that he would like to still be interested in taking the case. In fact, this is the joke I said earlier when I was talking about the comic paper. Father Alfred Stengel at St. Cloud Hospital Chaplain claims that the laughter can be therapeutic. He said, I remember one evening I visited a woman who was suffering from depression to give her communion, but she was in the middle of a shower, so instead of drying her off, the nurse helped her slip her robe on. But first, so that the robe wouldn't get soaked, she draped her with newspapers. After I left and she resumed her shower, the imprint of the St. Cloud Times color comic section was all over her body like a tattoo. She and the nurse laughed so hard that she was discharged the next day. Her depression, oh, who had it? was gone. Well, you can admire this mother, and I can imagine you would just straighten up your shoulders and react the way she did. My friend's sister-in-law was driving home in her large station wagon with her five children and the four that she babysits. All nine kids were yelling and playing. While she was waiting at a stoplight, an army truck full of soldiers pulled up next to her. Just before the light turned on, she yelled, "Quiet!" And the nine kids stopped in the middle sentence. Driving away, she turned and noticed that all the soldiers were saluting. Sergeant. Yeah, One bad golfer hacked his shot into the trees. Moments later, he finds his ball next to a man lying on the ground. "I'm a liar," the injured man yelled, pressing his hand to the growing knot on his head. "This will cost you $5,000. "I'm terribly sorry," the golfer replied contritely, "but I distinctly remember yelling out, 4... "Well, all right," said he answered. You got the deal. Four is a warning. I hit a ball, look out. But four sounded like 4,000. Oh. Now laugh. I should have preceded that by saying, you know, the word four in golf means careful, look out. But in this case, he thought he was saying 4,000. Sorry, people. This man says, "You know, Mitch, whenever the wife and I get into an argument, she gets historical." You mean hysterical, Mel, don't you? No, I mean historical. She remembers everything I ever did wrong, the next date, the time, and when that had happened. She has a historical memory. And keep in mind who our president is. The women's clothing chain for which my wife Joanne worked had a strict policy of giving only store credit for returns without a receipt. Joanne did her best to explain the policy prohibiting cash refunds to one customer, but the woman became increasingly abusive. Finally, she demanded the president's name and address. Joanne calmly replied, "William Clinton, Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. The woman took out the paper, pencil, jotted down the information, stuffed it in her purse. "He'll be hearing from me," she announced. Yeah.
I think Clinton should get letters like that. Be careful, people buy tickets. You buy tickets from. A friend bought a book of raffle tickets. The day after the drawing, the woman who had sold the tickets contacted my friend and apologized because she had forgotten to deposit the stubs in the bin on time. But she added, "Oh, don't worry, you didn't win anyway." And finally, this one is called "Old Folks Are Worth a Fortune." I told this in different forms. When you put it together this way, it's great. Old folks are worth a fortune. With silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs. I have become a lot more social with the passing of the years. Some might even call me a frivolous old gal. I'm seeing 5 gentlemen every day. As soon as I wake, willpower helps me get out of bed. Then I go to see John. Then Charlie Horse comes along. And when he's here, he takes a lot of my time and attention. When he leaves, Arthur Ryder shows up and stays the rest of the day. He doesn't like to stay in one place very long, so he takes me from joint to joint. After such a busy day, I'm really tired and glad to go to bed with Ben Gay. What a life!
Oh, that one's a good one.
P.S.
Yes.
The priest came to call the other day. He said that at my age, I should be thinking about the hereafter. I tell him I do all the time. No matter where I am, in the parlor, upstairs, in the kitchen, or down in the basement, I ask myself, now, what am I hereafter? Well, since you're enjoying this so much, I have 2 little ones. The 19th century Secretary of State William Avards was a popular after-dinner speaker. At an important holiday function, he arose and looked about him. You've been giving your attention to a turkey stuffed with sage, he said. You're now asked to give your attention to a sage stuffed with turkey. Now, this has to do with Halloween. My 3-year-old granddaughter was visiting us. We were about to have lunch. Rachel sat with her hands properly folded, eyes closed, as I began grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Immediately, Rachel's eyes flew open. You are not supposed to say Holy Ghost, she admonished. You're supposed to say the Holy Spirit. Then, afraid she may have hurt my feelings, she quickly added, you can say Holy Ghost in Halloween. This friend is saying, you don't look so good, old man. What's wrong? Harry says, I got domestic trouble. Friend, but Harry, you always said your wife was a pearl. Harry, yeah, she is. It's mother of pearl that's the problem. Well, I hope this never happens that you have to tell your husband this. One day, a man came home from work and his wife greeted him. "I've got good news and bad news." He swallowed hard and said, he'd like to have the good news first. "All right," she said. "The airbag in the car works." What would happen if the airbag didn't work? He might not be there. Well, if you husband and wives have an argument, I don't know whether this is a way to settle it, but it might give you an idea. You better watch your husband on this one, though. This is the wife saying, "Lon and I were involved in a petty argument, both of us unwilling to admit we might be in error. I'll admit I'm wrong," I told my husband in a conciliatory attempt, "if you admit I'm right." He agreed, and like a gentleman, insisted that I go first. And I said, "I'm wrong." With a twinkle in his eye, he said, "You're right." But you better tell him to go first.
That's right.
Well, you see, I'm making a careful selection here. I want you to get the best. Well, I don't know whether you have any horses for sale, but if you have a friend that's a rancher, maybe you can share this. A rancher asked a veterinarian for some free advice. "I have a horse," he said, "that walks normally sometimes and limps sometimes. What shall I do?" Veterinarian said, "Well, the next time he walks normally, sell him." And you know, I recorded one story on the Old Testament, the crossing of the Red Sea, Moses. It's on one of my tapes. But there are several versions. This is a new version. This is Moses had a press agent named Sam. When he and his people got to the Red Sea, Moses called for Sam and said, "Where are the boats, Sam?" "Oh, I'm sorry, Moses," Sam said. "I was so busy with the press releases, I forgot to order the boats." "You idiot," Moses said. "What do you want me to do? Raise my staff, ask God to part the Red Sea?" "Oh, hey, boss," Sam said, "if you can do that, I'll get you 2 pages in the Old Testament." Well, if you ever go out west, you better be careful about the ranch and your cattle. A New York family bought a ranch out west where they intended to raise cattle. Friends visited and asked if the ranch had a name. "Well," said the would-be cattleman, "I wanted to name it the Bar J. My wife favored Susie Q. My son, one son, liked the Flying W. And the other wanted the Lazy Y. So we're calling it Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y." "But where are all the cattle?" friend asked. "None of them survived the branding." Ouch, ouch. This is getting better as we go along here. One member of the bridge club was wearing a gold locket on a chain around her neck. "That's lovely," answered one of the players. "Do you keep a memento in it?" "A lock of my husband's hair," she replied. "Oh, but your husband is still alive." "Oh, yes," she said, "but his hair's gone." Well, this is, you make your own judgment. I'm fed up with your jealousy, the furious wife told her husband. Do you think I don't realize you're having me followed by a detective who's tall, blonde, has green eyes, and is pretty nice, although a little shy at first? She didn't miss a trick. And you know about people that are in small towns, and there's one man there usually is considered very wise. Well, this is one of those towns. Two men who lived in a small village got into a terrible dispute that they could not resolve, so they decided to talk to the town sage. First man went to the sage home, told his version of what happened. When he finished, the sage said, "You're absolutely right." The next night, the second man called on the sage, told him his side of the story, and the sage responded, "You're absolutely right." Afterward, the sage's wife scolded her husband. "Those men told you two different stories, and you told both they were absolutely right. That's impossible. They can't be absolutely right." The sage turned to his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." This is a lady talking here. "I was pleased that the brightly striped sweater I'd received as a gift seemed to have a slimming effect on my figure. 'That's a pretty sweater, Mommy,' my 6-year-old son told me. 'You look like Wheel of Fortune.' 'Thank you, sweetheart,' I replied, 'but I think you mean that I look like Vanna White.' 'No, Mom, I mean you look like the wheel.'" You have to be careful what kids mean, you know. Here's another one. "Our granddaughter's second grade class was asked to write about their personal heroes. Her father was flattered to find out that she had chosen him. 'Why did you pick me?' he asked. 'Because I couldn't spell Arnold Schwarzenegger.'" Well, I give you the best. In fact, I'm enjoying this so much that I'm just in tears.
And you say it the best.
But Sister Bernadine gave me this beautiful little, it's like a poem, but it has to do with the souls in the next world. In this case, limbo, before Jesus redeemed them and brought them to heaven. And so you have to kind of see these souls. This is, you know, all the patriarchs and all who died and preceded Jesus into heaven. I have to get credit where this was. It's Sister Mary Ado from this community. "The ancient grayness shifted suddenly and thinned like mists upon the moors before a wind. An old, old prophet lifted a shining face and said, 'He'll be coming soon. The Son of God is dead. He died this afternoon.' A murmurous excitement stirred all souls. They wondered if they dreamed, save one old man who seemed not even to have heard. And Moses, standing, hushed them all to ask if any had a welcome song prepared. If not, would David take the task? And if they cared, could not the young children sing the Benedicite, the canticle of praise they made when God kept them from perishing in the fiery blaze? A breath of spring surprised them, stilling Moses' words. No one could speak, remembering the first fresh flowers, the little singing birds, Still others thought of fields now plowed, new plowed, or apple trees, all blossomed bowed, or some the way a dried bed fills with water, laughing down green hills. The fisher folk dreamed of the foam of bright blue seas. The old man who had stirred remembered home. And there he was, splendid as the morning sun and fair, as only God is fair. And they, confused with joy, knelt to adore, seeing that he wore five crimson stars he never wore before. No canticle at all was sung. No one toned a psalm or raised a greeting song. A silent man alone, of all that throng, found tongue. Not any other, close to his heart, when the embrace was done, old Joseph said, "How's your mother? How's your mother, son?" St. Joseph.
Yes.
How about that? Well, the first bit of humor I want to share with you has to do with this man who is 75 years old. His name is Sam. And he's praying to the Lord that he'd give him 10 more years. And to back it up, he decides to diet. He does aerobics. He has a facelift. And he puts on a toupee. Now, as people say, he's all spiffed up. He looks his best. And he steps out of the house, and he straightens himself out, and he steps out into the street, and an automobile hits him. And he's standing before the Lord. And he says, "Lord, you know I prayed that you'd give me 10 more years. How come?" And the Lord said, "Sam, to be honest with you, I didn't recognize you." All right, so that's passed the test, right?
Yeah.
Well, this one here has to do with a church like this. And Carl here is the janitor. Well, in this story, this man's name is John. And he's the jack of all trades. The pastor said, "John, I need to rewire the confessional." Now, in order to do that, he had to get above this kind of ceiling and into the rafters. And, you know, walking on rafters can be very tricky. If you fall, well, you can have a bad accident. When his wife heard that, she was very concerned. So the day he was up there, she went into church in the first pew, and she began praying. Well, now, look how it looks to you if you're like the people that walked in the back of the church. See, they don't know what's going on. But she's down there praying, and you're watching this. And all of a sudden, she looks up, and she says, "John, are you there? Did you make it?" And a voice came down and said, "Yeah, I made it fine." And they're thinking, "She's got a hotline to heaven. I think I'll talk to her." All right. Now, I belong to what is called an association of merry Christians. And there are some very good little jokes that have to do with parish life. Now, this priest was having a preschool day center care for one day, and he was visiting. And a little group of children came, and one of the boys, about three, asked the priest, dressed like I am, "Why do you dress funny?" Well, his name is Father Hajduk. Told him he was a priest. This was a uniform that priests wear. Then he pointed to Father Hajduk's collar, insert, and asked, "Does that hurt? Do you have a boo-boo there?" And Father took the plastic collar out and showed it to him. On the back of the collar, the address is embossed on the collar. The boy felt the collar, and the priest asked, "Do you know what those words say?" Now, he couldn't read, but he said, "Yes, I do. It says, kills ticks, fleas up to 6 months." And the minister cut his sermon short when he overheard a little boy in the front seat ask his mother, "Mommy, are you sure that this is the only way to get to heaven?" And the pastor asked this little fellow, "Johnny, do you know where little boys go if they don't put their money in the collection plate?" "Yes, pastor," the boy said, "they go to the movies." Now, we don't want quiet laughter here. We don't want just snickers. Along these lines, heaven was being discussed by small children in a Sunday school class. A little girl said, "If you are good, you'll go to heaven." "Where do you go when you're bad?" a little boy asked. A little girl said, "To the principal's office." And sometimes you have one-liners. This is April, and so you have your tax IRS sheets. Well, you remember the gospel. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but don't overlook your deductions. And also, too, this is given by Sister Mary Augusta, no less. It's more blessed to give than to receive, and it's deductible. They also have cartoons here that are very funny. One of them has this little boy coming out of church on Sunday, holding his mother's hand, and he's very happy about something. And he says, "Mom, that sure made me..." I should precede this. In the preface of the Mass afterward, we say, "Hosanna in the highest," right? Then he says, "Mom, that sure made me hungry when they sang Lasagna in the Highest." Well, you know, to children, the prayers that you and I say, the words don't sound like we're actually saying, but there are sounds like that. Like the Our Father. There are many ways in which children say that. And one of them that I remember right off is this little boy saying the Our Father. But the sounds were like, you know, hallowed be thy name. But he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, how do you know my name?" This is a very good one. This pastor, his name is Father Porter, on Easter Sunday, had to conduct services at two parishes. The first service went longer than he had planned, and being late for the next service, he hopped into his car, still wearing his white vestments, and drove off. When he arrived at the second church, in nearby town, he noticed two children playing on the lawn across the street. As he jumped out of the car, dashed into the church, his vestments flying, you know, he heard one of the children say, "Look, it's Jesus." And the other one said, "Yeah, and he's late for church." That's what we like. Marion, you should get up here. One Sunday morning, Father Ambrose Ziegler of St. Charles Church preached on the theme of the U.S. Army TV commercial, Be All That You Can Be. Greeting people after church, he jokingly told one parishioner, You need to join the army of the Lord. And the man said, I'm already in the army of the Lord. Then how is it that I only see you at Christmas and Easter time? The priest said in jest. And the man said, whispered in his ear, I'm in the Secret Service. You remember the movie Batman that made such a stir among the young, maybe not so young either. In this community, it's called of Transfiguration, a religious order of nuns has a rest home for sisters at Bat Cave in the Episcopal Diocese of Western North Carolina. An elderly nun was trying to cross a busy street in town. A small boy offered to help her to the other side. The nun thanked him and got the reply, Oh, that's all right. Any friend of Batman is friend of mine. So you sisters, be careful. You don't know what kind of response you're going to get. This has to do with children going to confession. Father James Carroll. And this is in Australia. After a few words to put the boy at ease in the confessional, Father Carroll asked, Would you like to tell me your sins? Sure, the boy answered. Which ones you want? The good ones or the bad ones? Now, he was followed in the confessional by a young girl. And Father Carroll welcomed her, asking, How are things with you? And she said, Fine. What about yourself? This man believed that 5 was his special number. He was born on May 5th, had 5 children, lived at 555 East 55th Street. At the track on his 55th birthday, he was surprised to find a horse named Numero Cinco. And you know that's 5 in Spanish. And so 5 minutes before the race, he went to the fifth window, put $5,000 down on Numero Cinco. Sure enough, the horse finished 5th. And be careful when you buy things. Do you really sell that much salt? A man asked the grocer, whose store was stocked with thousands of boxes of salt. No, said the grocer. I sell maybe 2 boxes a month. To tell you the truth, I'm not a very good salt seller. But the guy who sells me salt, now he's a good seller. I'll finally end with this one. The doctor told Uncle Fudd that if he ran 5 miles a day for 300 days, he would lose 75 pounds. At the end of 300 days, Uncle Fudd called the doctor to report he had lost the weight, but he had a problem. What's the problem? Asked the doctor. I'm 1,500 miles from home. Well, you're a good audience. I think I'll keep you.